Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for this beautiful day, and we exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We say he is the image of the invisible God. By him all things were created. All things were created through him and for him. And we are members of his body. We are members of the church. Lord, we recognize Jesus as our Lord. We live for him. Say, we live for him.
Amen.
And he's our Savior.
Amen.
He has delivered us from all our sins. And he has delivered us from judgment.
Amen.
And he has given us a hope of eternal life.
Amen.
And one day we are going to participate in his resurrection.
Amen.
Thank you, Heavenly Father. This morning we open our hearts to receive insight. We open our hearts to receive understanding.
Amen.
And we declare as follows.
Now I declare
that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I am being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I am increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's take our seats. All right. Let's kick off with today's teaching. Isaiah chapter 49 is where we are going to start from today. Again, I do the introduction, even though I've said this thing many times, but Peter said I can't stop saying it. I know you understand it, but I'll repeat it so as to print it on your heart. What is faith? It's not, this is my desire, it must be met. That's not what faith is. What is faith? It is not, I've made up my mind how it's going to turn out, and it must turn out like that. Let me take a moment and correct Christians. The mark of Christianity is not the fact that you can control everything in life. I'll be getting my point. Especially your own life. The aim and the mark of Christianity is that you subject yourself to the will of God. And then you enforce the will of God around as much as lies within your power. That is Christianity. Stop, you know, sometimes we take something that God did for us in his kindness, we turn it to a sign of our power. I spoke that car to come and it came. Some people didn't speak it. They just took money and bought it. So what's all this noise you're making? Do you follow my point? Christianity is not... Look, if God gives you a car and you ask him for it, it's a good thing. I'm not saying it's not right. I'm just saying don't brag as if it shows the power you have to move things around on the earth. The aim of Christianity is not your will. The aim of Christianity is the will of God the Father and the will of the Son. The aim of Christianity is to establish the rulership of Jesus Christ in your life first and within your sphere of influence too, and then on the whole earth eventually. That is what Christianity is about. So you don't learn faith without putting these things in your heart. You won't know real faith. A lot of people are out there learning Eastern religion. What they call New Age movement. Now, I said once I bought a book And the book happened, no, I didn't buy it. Well, I got the book one way or the other, all right? So I picked it to read, somebody's library. So I saw it. Why did I take that book? Because it had the same title as a Christian book I'd read before, all right? So I thought maybe it's the same book. I can't remember the name now. All right, maybe something like All Things Are Possible. That's not the title. I'm just giving you an example, all right? So I said, oh, this book, I used to have it, those is already long ago. Let me read it again. I picked it this time around, but the name of the author looks strange. I said, well, maybe I forgot the name of the author, all right? Then I started reading. I realized I wasn't wrong. It's not the same book. The name was something like All Things Are Possible. Okay? That's not the title, please. Don't print that in your mind. I'm just trying to, I can't remember for sure now. But it's something similar to that concept. So, I started reading. And if you're not careful, there are pastors who have read things like that and come to church to preach them, not realizing it's not a Christian book. Now, I read this book, and it was about how to control life. Taught one woman, she said she wanted to get married. And that one of the things they taught is that see yourself married. And the woman, the other sometimes she reported maybe about 2 months later that nothing worked. They said, no, did you see it like that? When you make your bed, how many pillows do you put there? Ah, the woman said, one now. I use one pillow. He said, no, you're supposed to put two. So he started putting two. When you make breakfast, how many cups do you plate on the table? How many plates? She said, one. He said, you are supposed to put two. You have to see yourself. You have to see the man sitting down there and eating. Ah. So she went back and did everything. According to the book, I'm not saying it worked. According to the book, 6 weeks later, she was married. And they went on and on, you know, with examples and examples like that. You understand? Then, I read the whole book. I said, this is not Christianity. This is what they call New Age. It's a form of Hinduism, Buddhism mixed together, which oftentimes we bring into Christianity. That is not what Christianity is. A lot of people go to churches where they teach them how to use their faith to manipulate everything to their own will. How to use their faith to manipulate everything to their own preferred outcome. On the surface, it may look good. But you look deeper. People are using the faith to service the flesh. They are using the faith not to put down the body, but to elevate it. Some people say that they are putting down their body and they are using fasting so that, and I look, I say, that's not where it's not hunger that will put down your body. It's for you to look at your ambition and lay it down that you might know Christ. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That's what it is. For you to look at opportunities, like as we talked last time, the difference between a 100-fold and 30-fold and no fold is self-sacrifice. When the word of God demands something, do you give it up or you don't give it up? People began to use faith just to service their flesh. And then, of course, those are the testimonies that we give. Most churches, when we give testimonies, it's just things that we elevate. People hardly give testimonies of how they use faith to deny themselves. I hardly do. There's only one place I've gone to in my life, one full gospel meeting, where all those who came to give testimonies that day, I bet two or three people gave testimonies, and it was all about, if I remember one particular man's own, how full gospel was organizing like a national convention, and so each group was supposed to send their own contribution. And his testimony was how he managed to do his own. I was a bit of a senior man, all right? The money he wanted to give. They should thank God, though. When he checked his account, he didn't have money. And he wanted to give that this convention must be successful. So he went and prayed, said, God help me. Do you know that day, they just called him from the office, that a big client came and brought big business. And by next morning, he had money and brethren. And then, okay, he had given them a check. So just call them, please, go and collect the check. Go and collect the check. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I look like, excuse me. These are my brethren. Praise God. Like, I was surprised. Most people is like, after I give that 1,000, I began to call. Next week I have 50,000. Now I have a new television. Hallelujah. It must end with us. That's not a good testimony. These were giving testimonies on how faith helped them to sacrifice That's the only place I've been to. I've heard testimonies. And a lot of them, of course, good testimonies, most of them. But we unconsciously now think that if it doesn't end with my getting something, it's not a testimony. You can give a testimony on how you went somewhere and they said, if you don't pass this, this quotation and give the MD this amount of money, and brethren, I was supposed to make like 3 million naira from that project if I had gotten approval. But because I refused to do it, I was tempted. I won't lie to you, brethren. Because you see, I needed money. My children were going back to school the following week. You know, this was the necessary. I needed to do this. But I said no. And I began to confess. Father God, strength. When I came, I refused. And denied me the contract. Praise God. But brethren, I did not disobey the word of God. Hallelujah. And you go and sit down. You know, for most of us, we are still waiting. Where's the testimony? But I stood in the face of trial and temptation. That is the testimony. I hope you're getting my point. God gave me the strength. We like the fact that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not burn. But many Christians are burnt. Do you know that? I mean, was Stephen not burnt? So to speak. He was stoned, but you get my point. And Jesus stood there and was watching. And did nothing. I'm emphasizing to us again that faith is not about our desires. Faith is about the will of God. So what is faith? God has spoken, and I'm building my actions, my expectations, my joy. Very important. My joy. I rejoice at thy word. I don't have to see anything yet. Once I find your word, I rejoice. I build my joy. I build my life. I build the principles by which I live on what God has spoken. The word of God is the foundation for all I do. That is what faith is. Yes, it produces testimonies. Yes, the power of God will come into my life as a result. But that is what faith is. Faith is that the word of God is final. Faith is that without understanding God, I don't understand life. So by faith we understand. As if without faith, there is no understanding. Faith is how I interpret. I hope you're getting my point. Faith is how I interpret life. If something, we all have things happen to us all the time. Sometimes they appear good, other times they appear bad. Faith helps us to interpret those things. Faith is the reason why my name is Joseph, and I found myself a victim of enemy of the in the household. You know that, have you heard that thing before? Household enemies. This one, I didn't need the prophet to show it to me. I could see them. They're my brothers. I didn't have to see them in visions. Physically, they took me and bound me and sold me into slavery because one of them objected to them. They are killing me. And I get into Egypt as a slave. And then one day, God delivers me. And I forgive them. Not because we talked about God's justice a few meetings ago. Not because they don't deserve punishment. But because it is not within my hands to mete out their judgment. So what do? I forgive them. Why? Because I said they meant it for what? Evil. But God meant it for good. For his own will. For an eternal plan that he had. Faith is the word of God directing my understanding. So like Joseph, I say, by faith, I understand that my situation was framed by the word of God and is not out of the conspiracy of my brothers. So the Bible says, the Lord sent a man ahead of them. I hope you're getting my point. Sometimes people disappoint me. It's happened, I'm sure it happened to you too. I just shake my head. I said, it's because God has not appointed you to, what's the opposite of disappoint? To appoint me. Okay, to pro-appoint me. Let's disappoint. God has not appointed you to pro-appoint me. You are not the one ordained to fulfill that thing in my life. That's the way I look at it. I'll just relax. Because if that was mine, who are you? You are too small to hinder my progress. You're too small to hinder my progress. How can you? Like they say, who you be? Who you be? Sometimes we take our lives and hand them over to other people. by the way we relate with their disappointments. You know, people have come to see me, of course, you know now, just because I'm a prayer, I hear more than you. But we all hear these things. They sit down, shaking their head. As if my life's like this, because my friends, as God is blessing them, they just forget me. And you're not asking, why are they forgetting you? Why? Why are they forgetting you? So you see, you know the other man, that commissioner, is my friend. You wouldn't believe I told you. He doesn't even help. I'm looking at this man. You look like you are anything between 50 to 55 years of age. And you are still waiting. In 50 years of your life, you have not realized that you can't rely on anybody. In case you do not know, I learned it at the time I was 25. I had learned it. As at 25 years ago, you know, because you're getting married. How you're getting married? Hey, my girl will be able to support you. As you are saying it, I wipe it off my brain. I just wipe it off my brain. As you are saying it, that this support will give you. I say, I just wipe it off my brain. That, let me explain. I know you won't do it. And of course, they didn't do it. But I was not angry. You don't get me. I could not be angry because long before, I had known that human beings are not reliable. Now, like I said the other time, it's not them, it's human beings, including me. Now, doesn't mean I should be unreliable. I'm just saying that I just generalize it to everybody. And what does that do? It prevents offense. I would not, do you know what? There was no coke at my wedding. Do you know why? This man, this woman, they said they will bring coke. They didn't bring it. If you promised me coke on my wedding to help me supply coke, listen, let me tell you the truth. If I don't see that coke 2 days before, I have gone to the market and bought my own. If you bring and it's not excess, we'll go and sell it. But for me to sit down there and be stretching my head, has the coke come? No, God forbid. Not because you are wicked though, but because you are human. After all, you are making good plans and you put me inside the plans and then subsidy disappeared. Did you plan for subsidy to go? You didn't plan it now. You woke up one day and contracts stopped coming. Do you know, I was telling the other time, I was in the papers, the importation of cars into Nigeria dropped by 83%. And you are a clearing agent. That is the business you do. You clear cars. You are a professional. Look, everybody knows that when it comes to clearing cars, you are number one. But you don't buy it. You only clear it. Those who bring it for clearing now, they are not bringing. Your income also dropped by how many percent? 83%. Every man I read, so you want to wait. How is it not their problem? Because they promised. You are getting what I'm saying? Where I'm going is that, see, you don't hand your life over to people by, you know, you now start getting angry. That's why Jesus said, forgive. When you want to pray, you have to forgive. What does forgive mean? Forgive is repentance. Do you hear what I said? Yes. What did I say? What do I mean by repentance? God, I forgive him. Why? This man is the reason why I didn't make progress all my life, but I forgive him. Now, what does that mean? It means that God, I'm no longer holding him responsible for my lack of progress. I'm now holding myself and my relationship with you responsible. That's what it means. You're not doing him a favor. Do you get my point? Like, I forgive you. I for punish you. No. It's I forgive you. Sorry. I was looking up to you. Can you see the twist? And I come back to God and say, God, you know, if you don't help me, nobody else can. I talked to a relative one day. Trying to help him solve some issues. I said, no. That other fellow, I've written down his sins. I know the things he did not help me with. I didn't know, at the point that I almost shouted, my friend, will you calm down? I'm here trying to help you. You are counting all those who did not help you. You are too small to help other people. And you are there counting for me all those who did not help. You are fit, agile, educated, strong. And you are counting for me all those who did not help. This is how I go tomorrow. You see? Banky was here. He was able to help me 10 levels. He only helped me 3 levels. So he's owing me 7 levels of help. Now that's how you take your future, your destiny, your life, take it out of God's hands and distribute it to human beings. So God will just stand by. And listen, if you started that story at the age of 20, stop it now. Can I just say something? Some young people, Please, don't forget. Remind me that I'm trying to preach, okay? So that...
It's true.
It's true. And what I'm just trying to say is what faith is. That's what I'm trying to say. How to take your... You know, remember we began from Joseph using faith to interpret his experience with his brothers. Do you remember that? Uh-huh. And I'm warning people not to use the opposite, to take their life and hand it over to people to be controlling. So I want to say something. A lesson for young people. Some people young could listen to me. And then at the same time, I'll give a lesson to older people. Parents, when you want to grumble, let your children stay outside. Go into your bedroom, into your closet, like Jesus said, and grumble with your wife. So do you know Chief Uche did not help us? Wicked man. You know, Bola Tinubu did not help us. Nonsense president. Peter Mbai is not helping. Just be grumbling, you and your wife. Be destroying yourselves inside there. Don't destroy your children too. Your brother, your younger brother, not even your elder brother, your younger brother is very rich. You heard he has a house in Lagos, one in Abuja, and then one in Enugu, and he's building the village. Do you know he has never helped you pay for your flat? Grumble to yourself inside your closet. Grumble to yourselves. Annoy God, just you and your wife. Don't add your children. Don't add them, please. Please. Don't turn them, don't make them angry people and twist their mentality while they are still young. Because it's how you behave that they learn from. If they keep on hearing you complain, they will go to school, complain about their teacher, their friends, and the school authority generally. They will insult everybody. They will just be angry people all the time. And these are the children you are raising. I'm not here this morning to tell you not to whine. I'm saying whine to yourself. If you want to talk about other people in front of your children, say good things. I hope you're getting my point. As much as possible. You sit down. This is our neighbor. This is how he'll be parking his car uselessly and blocking us, not letting other people make progress. They will hate the man. And what I found is a lot of whiners are just whiners. They just like to whine. It's not, look, they just like to complain. Seriously, it's an attitude. Just wake up in the morning and say, what do I complain about today? What do I complain about? The sun is too much. The sun is too much. You see, I don't know what the government is doing about the sun. If you go to Dubai, the streets are, they have umbrella that open when the sun is hot. And then the streets are air conditioned. I was in Saudi. That's how it is. The sun is too hot. So what kind of government do we have? They're not even addressing the issue of the sun. You see, I know a real government should know. They wake up next morning. Government has put cloud everywhere. Of course, it's God. The problem is too much cloud cover will not let the vegetation grow. Look at all my compound now, all mildew everywhere. This cloud cover, this is the problem of Nigeria. Respiratory infections will increase at times like this. So God is looking at you. Good. Next day, he brings out his son. See, I told you, the government is not doing anything. Look, some of you listening to me are like that. Many people are like that. Saw a video during the week. Beautiful. As soon as somebody forwarded it to me, I just forwarded it to him. A number of people. One man was speaking. I don't know whether one of them looked like a South African guy. I'm not sure. The guy interviewed that fellow. The guy said, when I talk to my friends in Nigeria, 90% of the conversation is on the problems of the country. 90%. He said, but I have other friends who are in Nigeria, but they are not Nigerians. And they are not Africans. They are of other nationalities and other races. He said 90% of the conversation is on the opportunities. One man was reporting his experience in this country. A video he did, I think, a few weeks ago. He said, when I talk to Nigerians in Nigeria, 90% is about problems. That's all they talk to me about. What government is not doing, what is wrong, here. He said, but when I talk to foreigners in Nigeria, 90% they are discussing the opportunities. That man, 200 million potential customers. Man, they need power. We can generate power. Whoa. You see that these guys are like, wow. Man, look at this. These guys are not manufacturing this. We can come in here. See, see opportunities. He said, listen, he said 90% of the conversations they are having in the same country where there's banditry, where there's kidnapping, the same country, where subsidy is gone, power is now expensive, naira is sliding against. Some people just see it as opportunities every day. Please, don't make yourself... See, God hates grumblers. Now, I've been warning you. Some people are sick, is grumbling. That's seeking them. See, if you like, squeeze your face and twist your mouth at my English. It doesn't matter. I will say it because it is. I like it my way. It is the word that I said so, that is seeking them. Some people are squeezing their face. I said it's bad English. I created it, I know. But you understood me, right?
Yes, sir.
See? They are sick. And what is causing their illness? Grumbling, complaining. And please listen to me. It's not just preaching talk. It's reality. A lot of people will become well if they will just stop complaining. You just wake up in the morning, put up their two hands, sniff the air, say thank you. Another day to experience the goodness of God. Like I say all the time, Israel that annoyed God with their grumbling, they had real reasons. They did. They didn't lie. They were in distress. Yet God was angry with them. Because there were enough things for them to pay attention to and preoccupy themselves with gratitude and thanksgiving. But they didn't do it. Please let me just say it again. Parents, don't teach your children to whine. As much as possible, say good things. After all, your neighbor has not done, he has not killed you, he has not killed somebody, he has not poisoned anybody, didn't poison your dog. You get my point? Or just saying, the way they park their car, they'll just be playing music. Every time, talk. These children go out there. It's their attitude they learn. I've seen young people complain about the country, and you're looking at them. Spell country. Yeah, you wanted to even spell country because you're not sure. Because what are you talking about? One day, a student of mine, I'll use the illustration, walked into my office, very brilliant chap. Brilliant. I've been teaching for years. Will be among the top 20 students I've ever taught. And I've taught thousands. He walked into my office, came to ask me for a favor. They went to organize a program, they wanted me to speak. You know, I walked him out of my office to get out. I told him to get up and get out. Because he made a mistake. You know, because, see, again, if you're a young person and you are very intelligent, there's something you must never forget. You are a young person. Your intelligence cannot make up for experience. When you walk into the presence of your elders, shut up. Stop trying to tell them what you know. You know the truth? They don't want to know. When your elders are talking, sit down and listen. Use style to, even if they're not talking to you, look away. But keep your ears on what they are saying. This young man walks up into my office and was talking. Just now went into it. He now said that Nigerians cannot afford uninterrupted power supply. It was something like that. I said, anyway, he gave me one, two, three, you know, the normal whining that they sit in hostel and confuse themselves. A 21-year-old is talking to a 20-year-old who's arguing with a 21-year-old on things that they don't know. And I came into my presence and continued talking. I told him to get up and get out. I said, no, I'm not coming. I'm not free. Get out. He said, sir, you know minimum wage? I just said, get out. I felt like, why should you be telling me about minimum wage? You don't even earn.
Exactly.
I earn. I award you marks. If I say you failed, you failed. She don't talk when I'm talking. Are you out of your mind? I said to get out. I've seen a problem with some intelligent young people. They just think they know. And you know the truth? You don't know. You just think you know. You don't know. I went to one meeting one day. Some young guys were sitting beside me. And one man was preaching. And when the guy was sitting, you're just like that guy that you were talking about. He said, Mishono. He didn't say it loud though. But I could hear it. Yeah. A preacher was preaching and I was telling the guy to shut up. Why? And I looked at him, I just recognized me and my brethren when we were in school. When we had read 2 Ken Hagin books, 1 Ken Young book. Are you getting my point? Yes. And they will now be telling some old men that they don't have revelation, that they are using sense knowledge. I grew up, I went back then to say, God, I'm so sorry. I'm so. Did I really say that? If you're a young person, please, be quick to listen. Be very slow to speak, so you can learn. But my message to you today is that any whining and grumbling they've taught you, drop it. Your mother has told you all the bad things your father did. Tell her, mommy, forget it. Did he do bad things? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He has, after all, the man is old now, or he has died, whichever one is enough. Don't use your bitterness to poison my destiny. Please leave it. And please know how to share your bitterness. Are you getting my point? Some people, they like to whine. They come and see them, they are sick. Joseph, do you not have not slept for 3 days? See, the guy came to see you. Don't, you know, people like pity me. I'm suffering. I had a friend like that. We used to dodge their house because of that. Because once you step in, say, do you know how much I've been suffering? This is not part of my message. Just a gist. I gave someone my car to wash the other day. When that guy finished washing your car, it's my office. I just saw him pass. He's very good with car washing. I was about to drive off, actually. I said, are you busy? He said, no, I'm free. I said, please. I just moved my things. Gave him my key. Please, wash this car. So, now I was about to leave. So, that means I said, how long will it take? He said, an hour. I said, okay, 1 hour. I can spare an hour. I went and sat down. This guy is an expert. I've known him for over 20 years. That's the only job he does. Yes. He's busy. People will be calling him, day after tomorrow. He's very busy. Yes. Yeah. He's very busy. Anyway, let me tell you the gist I want to give you. So while because I was now waiting for him, the time was, it mattered to me. So I saw one guy beside my car, talking to him, talking loud. He was inside that time, cleaning the inside. So this guy was just, sticking his head through my door, telling him, talk. So I had to go out and say, please, oh boy, excuse me. I'm waiting for this man to finish work. I need to go. So can you just stop disturbing him so that he can finish? He said, sorry. Daddy, no, he was just there. They didn't pay him. They've not been paying him. They said they came to do verification. He was not around. He has not been paid. People are just here helping him. I said, okay, just let the man finish my work. So I was going. He said, so they've not been paying me. Do you have anything to contribute? I just said, no. And I just kept on going. You know why I was angry? You are there grumbling to a man who is working. That was my own issue. You are there grumbling to a man who is working. He's not on a salary. In fact, the money he asked for to me was ridiculously small. I had to pay him more. You did very well. I added to it and gave it to him. I felt like you should have just joined this man. Maybe you go meet me and say, oh God, please, this man is busy. Should I just help you do something? Like then when you finish like that, how about even if it's 500, I will give you. You are meeting a man walking, grumbling about how they are not paying you. See, please, if somebody comes to visit you, you are sick. Don't tell him all the woes in your life. You know why? You are depressing him. He won't come next time. The young man got my number once. He had serious problems. Serious troubles. Serious, not say joke. He was quadriplegic. He broke his neck. But he was alive, but couldn't use the whole body. Both legs, both arms. So I know that is difficult. So he's listening to me on radio. So somebody met him, and because of Jesus, he found out that this guy who met him is my friend. And after that one met him, he told him that whether he could get my number from him. Then I said, well, I'll have to ask him first. So, of course, he asked me, told me the guy's situation. I said, okay, go ahead. Give him the number. And my plan was to talk to him and pray with him. All right? With God, all things are possible. So, first time he called, I patiently listened to everything, what happened, How is a problem in the family, generational curse, this one. I allowed him everything. When he finished, I started talking. I preached the word of God. I encouraged him. Then I prayed for him. And I told him the fact that God can do all things and all of that. I mean, what do you expect from a preacher who reads the Bible? Those are the things I preached. Next time he called me, he started again. How everybody's against him. How he's lying down here. He's useless to himself. He's useless to people. And then everybody's angry with him. They're looking at him funny. People are getting tired of him. I encouraged him again and preached the word of God to him and prayed for him. He called me the third time. He started again. And I never picked his call again. After that, when he rings, I ignore him. This was years ago. Now you can't get my phone. These days, sorry, if you call me, let's not even talk about that. If you mistakenly get my phone number from somewhere, the chance that I will answer you is less than 2%. You have to call when I'm expecting my children. Maybe they went somewhere. They've not come back. They are 1 hour late. And I try to reach them. And their phone number is off. At that time, I accept any call. Yeah, because you see, it may be they borrowed the phone. Uh-huh. So just pray that it's one of those times. Uh-huh. But this was years ago. So I used to take all calls. But that's why the reason I stopped taking a lot of calls. Uh-huh. I haven't had to take my number off WhatsApp. Because you just say, hello, Pastor Banky, I know you don't know me. I just block you. I don't know you. I just say, hey, come on, go. The Lord is good. But I never spoke to that young man again. Because he was willing to talk about. And he wasn't listening to what I was saying. There was another young man. He's different. He traveled down. I won't tell you his story, but he had really been through a lot health-wise. He traveled down to Enugu just to come and buy materials. So just, can I talk to Pastor? They said, yes. So he told me everything. He didn't tell me more than two lines. Oh, I have been an encouragement. He never grumbled nothing. There's one or two hints he dropped that I knew what he had passed through. So then, I know that the first days we started doing SD cards or stuff. I made them, okay, I think it was these CDs. I don't need to pack as much as he wanted, give to him. No, he doesn't have to pay for them. You know the truth? I was not the one checking up on him. I think I said from this guy in a long time, I was sending him a message just to be sure he's fine. And the word is strengthening him and healing him. Please, don't turn yourself to a whiner. See, you've been sick. Thank you very much. We thank God for your life. You're alive, eh? When we come to your presence, give us testimonies.
No, last week, eh? Do you know? They almost cut my leg.
Did they cut it? No. What's all this whining? The problem is that people won't come back. You are depressing. That's the point I'm making. I'm not saying you should never ask people to pray with you if you have challenges. Are you getting my point? Just don't be a grumbler. Whining about everything. Have a word of thanksgiving. Yeah, you're on the hospital bed, somebody comes to see you. Ah, you're welcome. Ah, well, Steve, you're welcome. How have you been? The Lord is my strength. Car has been tough, but God has been good. Is there anything we can help you with? Ah, well, my people, they bring me food a number of times. Well, if you send food, bro, I go chop. You know that kind of thing. We just laugh about it. Try and make light of the situation. They will keep coming back. If really you need their help, tell them. When they say you're coming, please, they have very poor appetite. So I know I like food that has a lot of pepper. Can you just bring dry pepper for me? They'll be glad to bring it. Nothing tastes in my mouth again. I don't even know what I'm going to do. If I eat now, I think I start feeling I'm going to die. Oh, God. Oh. Please, I'm talking to young people. I don't know. My mind is on you now. Drop that habit. Don't learn it early. Don't be a fault finder. Looking for what to criticize everywhere you go. You enter into Kingdom World. Why is your backdrop like this? Why don't you have a live backdrop? And I want you to show me the receipt of how much you have given. Nothing. But you want to tell us what to have and what not to have. The other day I was in Koza. Their black drop was like this. So, you know, you can see the pastor moving behind himself. And then this is your chairs. You know, better ministries, they have cushioned chairs. Plastic is not good. People cannot sit for long. You have never sat here. Those who have been sitting here, they didn't come to you to complain. You came to come and tell us how to arrange our chairs. You know, if you go to your house, let's not talk. Another matter, thank you. We just feel you must, you know, just complain about everything. How's that guy wearing headphones like that? There are earphones you put in your ear. You won't know there's anything there. Is he complaining to you? Is he complaining to you? Young people, I'm talking to you. Don't grow up like that. Don't have this habit that yapping people is. What the fun is there? I'm wearing a new shirt. Yeah, your tailor is good, but the stitches he used. What's wrong with my stitches? Young person, stop it. Then don't let your parents corrupt your character by their own anger and disappointment with life. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So, what are we saying? We are saying faith is how we take our destiny out of Bola Tinubu's hands, out of APC's hands, and keep them in God's hands. If you need fuel, don't say, ever since Bola Tinubu became president, I can't afford fuel. You have said he's the one that decides. By faith, you say, Lord, supply me fuel. How will he do it? I don't know. I was trying to give you about two or three things he might do. No, there's no need for me to tell you. But he will take care. He will take care. He will take care. That's why I wrote that track, Dare to Believe. Just make up your mind. I say, I was thinking that by this year I'll buy a car, but the way things are going, let me just forget it. It's an insult to your Father, your Heavenly Father. You have just insulted him. The way things are going, he has become powerless. That time they used to sell land in that place, oh, 1.2 million. I should have just bought that time and I had the money. But now, I can never get land there again. And now here is 25 million. I've forgotten that one. You know, God is looking for, you know, he's restraining himself so that he doesn't slap you loudly from above. He has to restrain himself. Insult. God put some words in my mouth long ago. And he said, price is going up. I said, do I look like I'm going down? That's how I used to answer people. So the price is going up. I said, do I look like I'm going down? I said, I will go up faster than price. The first time I was offered a decent plot of land in Enugu, the place is well built up now. All right? That's after New Market, behind that estate after New Market. They said 500,000 naira. So years ago, I was living in Transekulu. I was going to buy. I could raise the money. I didn't have the money, but something that was doable. So the guy said the area is zoned for bungalows. And I don't like bungalows. It's just me. Nothing wrong with them. All right? If you've known me, you know that I've always lived upstairs. Since I came to Enugu, I've always lived upstairs. You understand? That's just me. Nothing spiritual. Don't come and say, you see, a real man of God. No, please. He's not. And so, and for me, another point. As for me, I'm not saying this, everybody should be like that. I don't believe in owning many houses. It's just the one I want to live in. I bless those who have many, because if my landlord didn't have many, which one will I rent? Just that I'm not a landlord in that sense. Are you getting my point? I'm not. Everybody has their own problem, their assignment in life. I'm not saying it's bad. Please, if God gives you money and you build a house that has 8 flats and you build the second one that has 4 flats and you build one for yourself that has 2 wings, it's good because somebody else who cannot build can rent. Do you get my point? Okay. But I wasn't like that. I didn't have that vision. So, once they said that, look, that the area is zoned only for bungalows. I said, I'm not buying. That's the only reason. Not because they have money. They said, the price will go up. Do I look like I'll go down? It was 500,000. When I finally bought a plot of land, much later, it was 1.5 million naira we paid. Turned out to be useless. I don't count as a loss. Not an issue. Next, I say, come and buy land in a good area. It was 12 million. And we paid. We didn't die. And if tomorrow they say it's 100 million, do you know what? I'll still give a testimony one day that it's 100. One day they say, okay, he said, move to Banana Island. You will hear that we'll pay 2.5 billion. And do you get my point? Because bank has 2.5 billion. I don't. My father has. My father's very rich. You guys don't seem to know him. It's your father too. Just that you maybe don't recognize how rich he is. It's your father too. Do you get my point? I just learned that thing. I may not say anything. What I mean is that I may not do anything now. But I would say something. I won't dismiss myself. I made a joke with my wife years ago. Shortly after we married, I went to the bank. I wrote a check. Of course, 7,000 naira now. It's not the same as 7,000 naira then. So I wrote a check, 7,000 naira. The cashier looked at it and said, am I expecting some deposit? When the banker asks you that kind of question, you don't need the Holy Spirit to interpret it. What he's saying is that there's no money in there. Come on, get out. Not that kind of thing. So I came back home. I tore the same check leaf. I wrote a check for 7 million and gave to my wife. Hold it. Yeah. I didn't have 7,000 naira. I took that same check bundle. I took another one, tore it, and wrote a check for 7 million for my wife. I said, I want to dash you. Take, hold. Once I went to go and price motor car, my wife and I. And it was Larry Shitu Motors. He only says brand new, big, big motors. I entered the place. How much with this one? In fact, the young lady, she was laughing. I walked around, took a walk around. You want to buy? I said, my check never clear, but we'll be back when they check. Did they charge for this? They know they charge now. I didn't deceive. We just laughed. We laughed about it. But I won't say, this is too big for people like me. Eh? Yes, you're right. It's too big for people like me. But my father is what? Rich. Take your destiny out of the hands of the federal government. That's what I'm saying. Stop blaming them for things. Just thank God. And say, Lord, this area is good for somebody to own a house. So they said the plot here now is 18 million. Just nod. 18 million. And look up like, did you hear that? You know, that's how my children treat me. They want to buy something. The price is, what do? They come and tell you. Daddy, this one, this is the money. My daughter isn't very good with it. She said, Daddy, you have money now. She will actually tell you. But Daddy, you have money now. And then if your daughter says you have money, you have to not deny. You say, I don't have one. You can't now. You will just smile and say, yes, I have, but I'm not giving you. Leave it. But you will not. Do you get what I'm saying? That's how you should. So if you just, I pray we'll get what I'm saying. Just leave it in the hands of the Lord. Don't go around. That's why most chat groups, I can't talk. You know, sometimes they drop in professional chat groups. Out of respect for people, you don't want to pull out. I just archive them. Maybe they just, they go. Yeah, because all they do is wind money after. I used to be in a chat group of only specialists. I call one of that guys. How do you cope here? I woke up one night around 2 a.m. and I deleted myself. I couldn't stand it. It was, you wake up in the morning, this old man wants to kill us. Who is it, Buhari? They will abuse. One day I told them, I said, guys, do you realize if they pack the most comfortable, best earning people in life, if they great people by how much they earn, how they lived? I said, do you know all of you will fall within the top 1%? In fact, that's 1%. No, this is Nigeria. You all fall within the top 0.1%. No, think about it. They are all specialist doctors. Every single person. I said the great Nigerians, how they live and how they earn. All of you here will fall within the top 0.1%. And then I get here every day, all I hear is whining, complaining. I said, can't you even thank God? The main talker, he said, God knows I'm grateful. I said, no, he doesn't. He said, he knows I'm grateful in my heart. I said, it's not true. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You can't wake up every morning talking like this and you say, God does not know it. Or no, you don't know how ungrateful you are. Please, again, let me say this. Young man, I'm telling you now, drop that habit. It's not a good habit. People form these bad habits in their late teens, early 20s. Everything you see, you have to find something wrong with it. Government brings out a policy. It is how it will not work. That's your problem. Stop it, though. The Lord is good. That is the danger. When I say, let me quickly say something. Let's get back to the message. So, we're talking about what faith. I always remind us, in fact, at this rate now, I think I've mixed the definition of faith series with this one. So, maybe we'll come back to that later because I keep on mixing it. So, that's what faith is. Take your life and it's deliberate. You deliberately take your life out of your brother's hands and put your life in God's hands. How do you do it? You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. So I think about what God meant it for. I see the overarching hand of God in your wickedness. You are not responsible for my progress. You are not responsible for my lack of it. If God wanted to help me and you did not help me, he would have raised another help. You are too small to hinder my faith. That's how you reason. Do you know what? You can go back to things that happened 10 years ago and take them and give to God. It happened 10 years ago. Troubles you went through 10 years ago. You're angry about things they did 10 years ago. You can go back that 10 years. See, this is what makes God God, though. It's one understanding God gave me. That is why he is God and there is none else. When you hear he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, you can interpret that many ways. But one of the ways, or you hear that from everlasting to everlasting. Most of us say, thou art God. Literal Hebrew says, everlasting to everlasting God. You know what that means? He spans from everlasting to everlasting. Now, let me explain what that means. From what you say, time passed to time is still time. Do you get my point? Time is in front of him. So, his hand can go anywhere in something that's in front of him. That's what it means. So, I've heard people say, God cannot change the past. I say, which God are you talking about? I don't think you know. Once you say cannot, you have removed glory from him. Unuseful. He can. There's nothing he can't do. Please, when you hear that statement, there are things he cannot do, he cannot lie. That's a silly argument. Let me put it like that. I don't know whether you can get at it. That's not a mark of ability. It's a mark of inability. Inability to stand up to the truth. Inability to face challenge. Why do you lie? It's not because you're trying to get something or hide away from punishment. So don't say, there are things that God cannot do. He cannot lie. Leave that. See, don't twist it. The fact that there's nothing he can change the past. And what you don't know is that he has changed it for you many times and you thought it was not changed. People don't know that God can zap your memory. Anything human beings can do, he can double do it. And that's speaking it mildly. Right now, they have right to forget. In countries, you know, like now, if you do something now, and once somebody posts it online, and then they put your name online, it will pop up. In Europe, and I don't know about America, America is funny, but Europe, there are many judgments all over Europe, which they instruct Google to delete every reference to you. Yeah, no, they do it. People have dragged Google to court. That is an invasion of their privacy. And the court will say, yes, it's true. So anytime they Google your name, nothing should pop up. And they'll serve that judgment to Google, to Yahoo, to all the search engines. That anytime somebody searches my name and you bring out this information, you know how much you are going to pay. In fact, there's one service, somebody advertising time I watch certain videos, all right, on YouTube. Their job is you subscribe monthly and they go around the internet deleting everything that has to do with you. Companies, they will tell Apple, remove it. You pay them. And that's what they do. They monitor the whole internet, removing everything that has to do with you. So I don't want my life on the web. Where am I going? If human beings can do it. If human beings can do it, God can double do it, triple do it. He can wipe out people's memory. Just say, okay, make everybody on the earth forget him. One angel will just write one small code. All of you that breathe oxygen that day. He will put that code in oxygen. Once you inhale it, that's it. You forget the guy. He can't change the past. And like I say, after all, what is the past? What is the past? It's not the effect it has on today and the future that matters. So look, in fact, God may not even have to change your past. When he redoes the past, you will like it. Okay, let me give you an example now.
My brothers, the way they put me in the pit, it was very horrible.
God said, let them not put you there. No, let them put me there because now I'm prime minister in Egypt. Why shouldn't they put me there? Do you get what I'm saying? You know, when you're prime minister in Egypt, and on the earth, the only human being more powerful than you is the Pharaoh. Won't you crawl back into the pit by yourself? You go to Mrs. Potiphar. You scare her. Shout. What are you doing, Joseph? Joseph, are you normal? Madam, shout now. I say, Joseph, what are you doing? Then you remove your cloth, drop it and run by yourself. Is that not so? You want to go to prison. So nobody said that God can change the past. He can't do it. So things that happened 10 years ago, you can give it to him and he will go back. He can wipe it out entirely so that in effect it never happened. Or sometimes say, all right, let's see. You turn it around and make it work together for today's and tomorrow's good. That is why he is God. Never forget it. That's why he is God. And one of the ways by which you take things and give to him, that no matter how horrible they are, you kneel down and say, Lord, see. I've been angry. But today, I choose not to be angry. I forgive. Then I want to thank you. I know you could have prevented that, but for you choosing not to, thank you. Like Dr. Fagumi said when I was in Sokoto, was it last year? Beautiful. That expression. He said, God is so good and is so righteous that even if he's killing you, you should be telling him thank you. Because he's that good and that righteous. He's killing you. He said, thank you. That's a painful death. Thank you. Nice death. That is why? Because you recognize how good and righteous he is. So you can go back. And when you do that, you've taken what men meant for evil 10 years ago and you have given it to God as a raw material for a beautiful future. You've given it to God as a raw material for a brilliant destiny. That is why he is God. That's why let's not make grumbling something in life, no. You know, there's a statement people make. They never make it. God will be angry with you. Say, may Nigeria not happen to you. You heard that?
Yes,
sir. I tell people, no. I tell them, may Nigeria never happen to you. May Sudan happen to you. Yes, Nigeria should not happen to you. Let Sudan happen to you. Let Gaza happen to you. Let Ukraine happen to you. I have many things that should happen to you. Lebanon should happen to you. Current Lebanon. Maybe Iran should just happen to you so that if you don't cover this, you're fine here. You can't come out. You don't know. Oh, let Afghanistan happen to you. Where it's now a crime for you to go to school just for being a woman. You didn't do any other thing than they said it's a girl when they give birth to you. Yeah, you can't go to school. You can't leave the house. You can't travel. People don't get it. You don't know what women in Afghanistan are going through. Going to school is forbidden. The only way you can learn, if you are lucky and you have brothers and parents who love you and they are willing to sit and teach you at home, it's the only way you become literate. But of course, they will not teach you to be an engineer. They will not teach you to be a doctor. They cannot teach you to be a lawyer. How will you get the license? No matter how much you can do architecture, you will not have a license. That is what they are going to. So maybe I should pray for you that Afghanistan should happen to you. Maybe I should even pray that a certain part of Europe should happen to you so that you'll be miserable all the time. Please, young people, don't learn bad habits. Don't learn bad habits. Do not learn bad habits. Don't. And that's done. The Lord is good.
All the time.
Now, let's now start today's message. I said we should open somewhere, right? So, the issue of faith is what we're talking about. Or let's now continue. I started earlier. I just want to continue it. The issue of faith is what we're talking about. So, when we said that the foundation for faith is understanding the character of God, we have looked at the fact that He's good, God is love. And I said, good and love, they go together. What does it mean to be good? He's always trying to bless people. What does it mean to be love? He never wants anything for himself. Every action, every decision he takes, he makes, are because he wants to impact something. That's what it means to be love. He's always eager to help. Always eager to help, to impact himself. And we've explained it here many times. So when they say, when I was young, the why did God create us is to worship him. People say, we're created to worship him. As if God was worship hungry. So we are worship machines. Worship machines. So that we wake up in the morning and say, you have not worshipped God? Don't you know that he needs it? He needs it. You can say that until you understand that he's love. If he needed worship, he wouldn't create a person just to worship. That's too self-centered. And God is not self-centered. If he appears self-centered, it's because, it's like my children, when I say you must come home, it's because money-centered is at home. Are you getting my point? Help-centered is at home. So that's what God will appear like. The real reason he created us is because he's so great. He's like a flame of fire. He can light a million fires and not diminish. So he said, let me multiply myself. So why do we worship? Because it's the only process for becoming whom he created you to be. Those who worship them will be like them. It's an eternal principle. Anything you worship, you become like. Those who worship them will be like them. It's an eternal principle. Anything you worship, you become like. So why do we worship God? That's how we can become like him. It's not because he's worship hungry. When he says you should praise him, not because he needs praise. It's because you need to know where your help comes from. Every morning in our house, we declare it. Where does our help come from? That's how we start it after praying. Say, where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. That's what praise is. You have to know where your help comes from. That's why we praise God. Not because he needs praise. It's because if we don't praise him, we forget. Is that forgetting that's the problem? And once you forget, small things will now start overcoming you. If Israel had praised God every day of their lives after they left Egypt and they worshipped as they walked towards the promised land, the giants would have looked small. They would have told themselves, Eliab, did you see that guy? Which one? That small guy. That guy going over there. And the Philistine would be looking like, is that guy you call small? He's not bigger than you. No, it's not me I'm comparing him with. I'm comparing him with God. The guy looks small, man. And the Philistines say, this guy is drunk. So the next guy, Eliab, will come and maybe give me another Jewish name. Joab will now come. Say, Eliab, you saw that guy? Yeah. Man, the guy looks like he's sick. The Philistine friends will be looking like, that's the guy who destroyed all the camps of Ammon. Say, the Ammonites must really be useless. You know, you get my point? Why? Because they've been praising. It colors how they see things. It's a color. And the Philistines looking at all of them, they just go home and say, these guys are not normal. I saw five of them, one after the other, without discussing with each other. They looked at Goliath senior, and they said he looked weak. The one that all of us run away from. Why? Because they've been praising. So in their minds, as they are seeing that senior Goliath, they are not seeing him compared with them. They are seeing him compared with the man of war. Jehovah, the man of war. So they are looking like, this guy is going to fall heavy, man. That's what they are thinking of. Because they remember Egypt. They remember the wilderness. And that's what praise does for you. So anytime you praise, you know, God just keeps getting more prominent in your imagination. So everything you compare, you say, dollar is now 1,007. You say, okay. Then you continue like, it doesn't scare you. Well, they don't spend dollar in heaven. They don't spend naira. My gosh, I see supply of mine. It's not according to the price, the exchange rate. It's according to his riches in glory now. I know, like, is that not clear to you? The way you talk, sir, I think you're the only one that knows God. The door is open for everybody that wants to know him. Yeah, you can hiss all you want. I'm not going to change my mind. It happened to when I was in school. One of my classmates. He said, by exam, I've been spirit-filled for a long time. I boasted one boast, bragged one brag about our forthcoming second MB exams. The guy just got up and got angry. People be talking as if you are the only ones that know God. And he got and started walking away. I shouted after him. I said, he's available for everybody to know. Nothing personal. No, seriously, I shouted after him. So next time, I went, maybe like the next day. I sat down, one guy who was there. I know the funny thing, two of them till today, they bragged on the fact that they don't believe in my God. Yes, till today. So you'll be following people who don't have your faith. They'll be shaping how you talk. Next time I sat down and said, do you realize that it's not necessary to be boasting like that? And I answered him, it depends on the reason why you are boasting. I told him like that. Actually, it's now I look back. Oh boy, we were spirit-filled. Yeah, we were. Oh, yeah, this happened in 88 because our exam was coming up, 88. I answered. I said, it depends on the reason why you are boasting. And there's a scripture in my mind, even though I didn't quote it for him. I said, it depends on the reason why you are boasting. I mean, if you're talking about yourself, yes, you're right. I said, well, if you're bragging on what God can do in your life, what is the big deal about it? It's not a look back when the Bible says, filled with the Spirit, he answered. The Lord is good. So praise, that's what it does. When you constantly praise, God is magnified in your heart. And without thinking about it, you just easily, naturally compare him with things. Compare things with him. Compare problems with him. But if you've been singing Bob Marley, do you get my point? Some people here, they don't know who Bob Marley is. So don't be angry with me. I don't know who modern secular musicians are much, all right? Imagine they've been telling you that you got to stand up for your rights. That's why I remember Bob Marley. A man needs to stand up. It's time for us to come together and arise. And he had an album titled Uprising. Hey, whoa, yeah, you be there. You're stand up, get up. Don't give up, devil. Jeremiah came and said, better give up this fight and go to Babylon. If you have been listening to Bob Marley, the day you see giants, you know what happened? You will compare them with you, and you will run. If you have been singing secular music, you will compare the giants with yourself. If you have been singing praise, you will compare the giants with God. That is why God says we should praise him. Never for himself. It's always for our good. So that's what we mean by when we say that God is love, God is good. We explain the fact that God is just. Among the things we saw last, that indeed that God is just. He is just. He always rewards good and he always punishes evil. But we have mercy. We mentioned again that God is merciful. We explained that he's wise. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And last time when we were talking about him being just, I amplified something for us. I need to say that again for 2 more minutes. And if that's the fact that as Christians we can bear fruit. Let me start the Matthew way now. If you read in Matthew 13, it can be 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. Why I decided to use Matthew's progression is because 100-fold is natural, is normal, if you remove all hindrances. So the assignment we have is to remove hindrances. The extent to which we don't hit a hundredfold is the extent to which the hard rocks are not removed from our lives. Is the extent to which the thorns, all right, the seed of the thorns that will arise and choke the word, the extent to which they are not removed. That is what decides whether will come down to 70, down to, come down to 60, or come down to 30, or get nothing. So the assignment we have every day is to remove those hindrances. And of course, we use the word of God for it. We cast down strongholds, every imagination, everything that exalts itself against the knowledge and the obedience to the word of God in our lives. We keep removing them day by day. Each time we argue, we're studying the word in my house a few days ago. Then we read them. We started on Genesis chapter 3 for a long time. After my wife said, we have finished reading. I said, no, how can you finish reading Genesis chapter 3? Genesis chapter 3 is so loaded. In fact, finally, the other day I said, okay, it's enough. Let's now move to 4. Because we read a particular point. Has God really said, Eve said, yes, God said this and this. And then what did Satan say? You shall not surely die. I stopped the reading there. He said, this is why God created hellfire. That statement. I said, that's why he sends people to hellfire. That statement. That God says something and you say he's wrong. Is the reason why hellfire was created. Is the reason why people go there. You oppose the counsel of God. That is why you will go to hellfire. There's no other thing. God said, as God really said, Eve said, yes, God said, that the day we eat it, we would die. And Satan said, no, God is wrong. So each time you oppose God, you lose one of your four levels. There's a word of counsel I drop once in a while. If you find something in scripture, even if you don't know how to obey it, just leave it. Don't ever argue against it. Just leave it. Say, don't worry about tomorrow. How can you not worry? Don't say anything. Just keep quiet. As you continue to study, that word will become life in you, and you'll be able to obey it. The extent to which we disagree with God is the extent to which our fruitfulness is reduced. The more you agree with God, the more his word manifests its power in your life. So we talked about that. So that's the basis upon which God lifts people. And I explained the number of things that God rewards. I said it rewards, all of them are actually faith, but just I emphasize them. Faith, that's number one, and it manifests as obedience. Obedience is number two. We talk about self-sacrifice, how God highly exalted him because he was obedient to the point of death. And then I said acts of love. Okay, we won't talk about that now. If you're not around last time, please make sure you get the message. Now, what are we talking about today? Now, I think we have now reached there with all the words we have spoken so far. Let's see how far we can get with this one. You opened somewhere, right?
Yes, sir.
Isaiah chapter what?
49.
49. Now, let us read it. At Isaiah chapter 49, we are going to start reading from verse 8. Now, today I want to explain the fact that God is faithful. That's the focus of today's teaching. The fact that God is what?
Faithful.
Thus says the Lord, in a favorable time I have answered you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. I will keep you, now notice that, I will keep you and give you for a covenant of the people, to restore the land, to make them inherit the desolate heritages. Saying to those who are bound, go forth, and to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. Along the roads they will feed, and their pasture will be on all bare heights. They will not hunger or thirst, nor will the scorching heat or sun strike them down. For he who has compassion on them will lead them, and will guide them to springs of water. I will make all the mountains a road, and my highways will be raised up. Behold, this will come from afar, and lo, this will come from the north and from the west, and this from the land of Sinim. Shout for joy, O heavens, and rejoice, O earth. Break forth into joyful shouting, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted his people, and we have compassion on his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and the Lord has forgotten me. Then God answers, can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb. He said, all right, even these may forget, but I will not forget you. Now, please, I want you to follow this. God is making promises to the people, how he will restore their captivity, how he will make the mountain a road, and how highways will be raised up. Zion now said, the Lord has forsaken me because of his experience or her experience. And God says, is that even possible? He said, even if a woman forgets her nursing child, a very unlikely thing to happen. He said, even then, I will not forget you. Why? Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. The way New Living Translation says, verse 16, he said, always in my mind is a picture of Jerusalem's walls. Now, bear that in mind. Verse 17, it says, your builders hurry, your destroyers. Now, please follow this. Your builders will come. That's what he was saying. Your destroyers and devastators will depart. Those who spoil you, they will go away. He said, lift up your eyes and look around. All these people, builders and all of them, they gather together. They come to you. As I live, declares the Lord, you will surely put on all of them as jewels and bind them on as a bride. Verse 19. For your waste and desolate places and your destroyed land, surely now you will be too cramped for the inhabitants, and those who swallowed you will be fired with. That is, the place was desolate, few people were there. Now it's going to become crowded. The population will return. And the conquerors who destroyed the place, they will be fired away, that God will remove them. And I'm just going to hasten up now. If we read verse 22, I jump two verses to save time. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will lift up my hand to the nations and set up my standard to the peoples. And they will bring your sons in their bosoms, and your daughters will be carried on their shoulders. Kings will be your guardians, and their princesses your nurses. They will bow down to you with their faces to the earth. That is, they are coming to serve you. That's the point he's making. And lick the dust off your feet. And you will know, now please, this is why I read all of this. And you will know that I am the Lord, that those who hopefully wait for me will not be put to shame. Please, I need to read that again. He said, you will know that I am the Lord, and those who hopefully wait for me will not be put to shame. Now, God said all of this just to make that point. There are many more things to read, but for time's sake, we'll stop it. Stop reading in verse 23 there. I read all of that because God was showing them something. The plan he has for their destiny. The plan he has for their restoration. Now, we'll not discuss those things in details. What I just want to bring out is the fact that he says that those who hopefully wait for him will not be put to shame. I'll make that statement I've quoted a number of times. One lifetime is too small to judge the faithfulness of God. Let me tell you how God is. He's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Three generations. When Jesus was praying for his disciples, he prayed for them. And not only for them, but for those who will believe through their words. Jesus, his disciples, and those who will believe. Three generations. Do you get it? The words, my words will be in your mouth, the mouth of your seed, and your seed's seed. Three generations. I think that's the minimum. I hope you're getting my point. One lifetime is too small to judge the faithfulness of God. Yes, one of our brothers sent me something recently. I've not really, because of so many things you are doing, I've not paid too much attention to it. I've not read about, it's a video I think about David Green. Yes, if I remember well. Do you know who David Green is? Name one thing associated with him. Yeah, the Bible app. All right, the Bible app. That's what they call it, the Bible app, the YouVersion. All right, see, the company is a billion. The man is a billionaire. The family, they are billionaires. They own Hobby Lobby. They dedicate their wealth to service the Word of God. Let me put it like that. Yeah, to service the Word of God. Now, you see all those versions you download. If you check something before, you could read some of them online. You couldn't download. But now, almost all of them are available for download. What many of us don't know is that those who publish many of those Bibles are not publishing them for free. That family has to pay for you to be able to download it for free. So don't just assume. They didn't build an app alone. They have to make all the copyright payments, all the discussions with the publishers of those modern ones especially. Things like King James, all right, is there in the open. Revised Standard is already in the public domain. There are many of them in the public domain, a huge number in the public domain. But like now, you see 2020 version of New American Standard is there. That was not in the public domain. It's just 2020. It's not. It costs money each time you download it. Somebody pays. I hope you're getting my point. That's what they dedicated their family to, their family's wealth. Promoting the gospel, sponsoring translations and all of that. Okay? But where I'm going is this. Let me quote what he sent to me. He said, reading this today, and I'm so blessed by it. David Green said his father was a pastor in rural America, and they never had more than $100 as income, maybe weekly income, in a family of seven people. Did you hear that? A man who's now spending annually scores of millions of dollars to sponsor gospel causes. His father was a pastor, and all they ever earned, it's not very explicit, but let's just say, even say weekly, is $100. Man, wife, five children. How do you spell tight? When you say things rough, that's how you describe the fact that things are rough. A friend of mine said something to me. I won't give you details because I didn't personally do investigation. Many years ago, he mentioned some Nigerian, there are some people who have a lot of noisy money. You know what they call noisy money? Noisy money is something like, your mother dies, and then you bury, and you are spraying dollars, making noise. You understand my point? And then you're on social media, everybody is following you. That's what I call noisy money. Sometimes you're a musician, you have to make noise, That's how the money comes, noise. So you're a musician, you go and buy a Bentley. You will show us, your friends will video you as you go to collect the keys. You are not rich. You are a noisemaker. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Yes, you're a noisemaker. You're not rich. You buy a wristwatch, you photograph it with the receipt. Can I tell you something here? Just a small tip for you to behave like a normal person. Anytime you wear something that the brand name is on the chest, just make sure it's fake. Never buy the real one. You wear a t-shirt, Dolce & Gabbana. God knows, I will never wear a genuine one. Never. If it's fake, I will wear it. Some of them will even do sunglasses. Left eye is D, right eye is G. You buy a bag, Prada will print his name all over it, and you are carrying it, and you are not ashamed. Now, let me tell you something. See those celebrities that carry it? They are paid to carry it. So that poor people like you will think you have made it when you carry it. You know Mark Zuckerberg? In Naira, each of the t-shirts, those black t-shirts he wears, one is 700,000 Naira. Yeah. That t-shirt he wears, that's the price. In today's Naira. If you see some men just pass, all right, in front of you, they're wearing a jacket. The jacket in today's Naira is 2 to 3 million Naira. Suit, trouser, shirt. And you see men just walk on the road. They are just, and that's what they wear normally. They're not arguing with you. They're not playing. They're not angry with you. They walk into a shop. The suit is $2,000. They pay a pair of shoes, $1,000. They take a watch, a very nice watch. Okay, they like it, $3,000. And they just come to Bibles and just sit down normally at the back. But poor people, Prada. They will just write it there. Some of you wear suit, you don't remove the badge from your wrist. That thing is not supposed to be there. It's for it to sell it. You have bought it, remove it. Arauko, you have bought it. I mean, Bushman. I hope you're getting my point. Uh-huh. So I'm talking about those rich people. There are a lot of them in Nigeria. So my friend, now tell me about a friend of mine. He mentioned some of them. Guys that, is it, when they pay dividends, you know, you hear GT, some of you have GT shares, they send you dividends, it's like, whoa, 35,000 naira. You are happy. Some of these boys are paid 5 billion. So you collected 35K, you are happy. Like Dangote, what much was dividends for? No. 770. Dangote Cement, 1 year. $770 million was all he was paid that year. Have you ever seen Dangote's shirt? And my own, they look the same. We are the people, you know, we rich people. We don't have time. Remember the other day when we were talking, when the, what is his name? Our brother and GT Bank having quarrel, when they said that they should pay him, is it 4 billion? People say he has taken over GT Bank. I remember what he said. He said, 4 billion. You mentioned the MD's name. Say, we'll pay him from his portion, that is at the end of the year. We'll dip his pocket and hand him the money. Get out. You know, the Lord is very good. My new book, not book, the revised book is virtually ready now. All right? Over the next few weeks, we should have it out. That's a grace to prosper. I discuss some of the things inside. See, I just feel like just with you about that small. There are people like that. They plenty for this country. They plenty. They don't wear Prada. If they wear it, Prada would not dare put his name as a bold label on their clothes. Lie. They won't dare it. Because they will not advertise for you. When you put Prada, you put under the sole of the shoe. Only them and the devil will know who's wearing it. Yeah, you know, the devil, they say, oh, exactly. They just wear it normally. It should take people that know to know. Now, let me now get back to what my friend was saying. He mentioned a few of them in Nigeria then. This was years ago. He said, what many people will not know? He said, that man, his father, was a catechist. That's where I'm going. Some of them you hear, the father was a pastor here. You just be hearing things that you will not know. That God said, when everybody in the village was going to the shrine, I called you to come to church, and you came. And for that reason, they never gave you a title. Because you are serving the religion of the white man. For that reason, you didn't get land when they were sharing. For that reason, and so you struggled all your life. When they are gathering the big men, no, you didn't go. You couldn't because you have changed your allegiance. So they were not laughing at you. They became the Ozos, They know, thank you very much. All the big names, they did there. You are not there. Then the children went to school. Because you're a catechist, or you're a church warden, because you serve the Reverend Father, you serve the Anglican priest, you serve the white man's religion, actually you serve Jesus Christ. Your children were forced to follow. Like I was saying last time, what would they do now? That is going to church, they got to go. Then one of those foolish village girls from the next village agreed to marry you, or the father agreed for you to marry. So that's why you have children. So your wife, all of you are good church, foolish people. But the children now went to school because of that influence. Then they learned, then they traveled to go to secondary school, traveled, got a first degree those days, and came back home. I started working for Mandela's, worked for PZ, then went to start their own private business. And God says, for what your father did, I will do you back, in quotes. See those other people, they're big men. What happened to their children? They became local politicians. Some of them smoke igbo. Some of them are still selling land. They are still going around. Now, if you want to lay foundation, they are there to collect. Not agency fee, this development levy. Not local government. This, what do you call it? Aqua Nature, whatever. All this. They are still going around. Their father was also that time. They are still carrying masquerade. They are still, and they are feeling very important though. They don't realize that their generations have gone down. 3 generations after, they are going down. And now his own son is already a thug. Police will soon shoot him. But the other people that have followed the Lord, you don't even know. If you hear they are coming to that village, an army of soldiers will go ahead because they don't want trouble. But it won't be in the news. They just pick their things. They own. If they sell one house in Abuja, they will pocket 2 billion naira. But you know what? You don't even know they are there. And some of them don't even know that God is paying their father. He's not paying them. As I've been telling people, stop eating your children's future because you want to be comfortable now. Stop throwing away their destiny because of today's comfort. My friend explained to me, and when he was saying, he was laughing. Just laughing. He said, Kai, some of these people, if you know where their father came from. And they didn't start a big ministry. That is, their fathers. They were just catechists, church wardens. But in their time, it was huge because they had to make a huge sacrifice. Yeah, they had to. Because this is where they would have gone. But a spirit would have told them, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the truth. Not only them, he told everybody. But then the world and Satan starts presenting. If you follow this white man, his religion, you go nowhere. If you come here one day, you may be good. So they will sacrifice Bible calls the desire for other things. They will sacrifice the knowledge of the truth because of the desire for other things. But one way or the other, this one will say, let's serve God. He has been good to us. And then he will never get a title. But then he has bought a destiny for his children. I never forgot that when my friend just said it in passing. But me, because I'm a Bible teacher, I quoted it. That's why I read to you the story of David Green. If you read his story, what wisdom does he have more than the average learned American? What wisdom does he have more than his father did? It's simply because one lifetime is too short to judge the faithfulness of God. God says, I know what I'm doing. So he says, those who hopefully wait for me will not be put to shame. I want you to understand, the way God is, we read the other day, Romans chapter 3, that there has to be what they call the demonstration of his righteousness. It will never happen on this earth that somebody will say God failed. It's not possible. It's not possible. It's just not possible. It's not possible. I don't know how else to say it. Those are the ones I used to go to Twitter. Not been there in a long time. Is it X now? One girl said, God has failed me again. I said, there are words that can't come from your mouth. How did that one manage to escape from your mouth? Are you okay? See, God is faithful. What does it mean to be faithful? It means he keeps his promises. That's what it means. So, if he didn't make a promise, he won't keep it. He keeps his own promises. It's his own promises. And that's why you have to be careful not to be grabbing promises that he didn't make. Pastors will come up and promise what God didn't promise. And then that young woman said, God failed her. Again. You know why? He had done it before. A failing God. That girl should just go and worship an idol. Because right now you're not worshiping God. If he can cross your mind that he can fail. Anyway, God won't answer her because it's not God that she's talking about. It's not God that she's talking about. It's not. What was her problem? Somebody, promised her stuff. Okay, what is it? She wrote an exam and she wrote it for the third, I think at least the third time. What is it? She had prayed and had declared and possibly added a seed and tied the hands of God. What did you use to tie his hands? Like one brother wrote us then, he had struck his application with the mantle. Yes. He had wrapped it, you know, in the mantle. He had put anointing oil at the edge. He had done everything. He had planted the seed. You know, this kind of thing, you photocopy the application, put your seed in it, and drop it in an offering basket in the photocopy. And he had declared. And then finally, must be a very nice job. When they published those who they employed, his name was not there. And maybe his former boss saw the way he was carrying Kuro carefully. You know what that means? Anyway, the way he was shifting movements. So that other one fired him. They did some layoffs and he was laid off. The new one he was planting seed for did not come. And he was confounded. So that was when he wrote. He wrote us then, please, what is going on? I replied him, saying, you don't understand. You are believing what God never said. I said, at least now, God has blessed you. You know, it's good for you to fail in some things early in life. You will quickly relax. I said, at least God has now shown you that your mantle, your oil, your seed will not guarantee employment. That's all. I said, that's all. What's happening? I said, now go back and beg God. But my father, I need work now. He will give you another one. He will. He will give you another one. That's what I told him. I said, so please leave that thing. When people say God failed, is when they have done what they felt they can use to manipulate God. And he can't be manipulated. That is when he appears to fail. Another reason why God appears to fail is because of timing. The Bible, Peter was telling us, he said, God is not slack. As men count slowness, let's use modern English, it's not slow. As men count slowness, the problem is how men count it. Do you get my point? God is not slow concerning his promises, but it's as men count it. Please, let me talk about our lives again, your life and mine. Your life is here to be donated. Do you get my point? Please, never forget that statement I made. You are giving life to donate it. You are being fattened as an offering. Don't you read your Bible? Fatted calf. Have you ever heard of fatted calf?
Yes, sir.
That is, there are animals in the home that they don't go to plow. They are in the house. I mean, it's a rich man. He has some of them. They feed it well when an important guest will come. You are getting my point? Yeah, that is, an important guest is coming. What do we give him? You go and collect one animal that has been, well, not the one that has been in the field laboring and dragging plow. That one, eh? The muscle go top, they go cook. You know those kind of things that you go chew. You now wonder who is chewing who. Is it the is it the meat chewing your mouth or the mouth chewing the meat? Some of you may say you like, and some people say that, I'll take a small detour, okay? If I miss my way. Two of you help me, alright? Some people say they like, they don't like Greek fowl. They like wild, what do you call it? There's a name they use for it, all this diet, eh? No, there's one word they use in this diet, eh? Steve, don't say anything, you're causing confusion. Not local, no, they say if you, free range, God bless you. Free range, that's what they call it. Free range. They like free range fowls. Free range, not the one inside the cage. They don't run up and down. Fine. Some people not like free range local fowls. Now, have you ever eaten free range local fowl? That thing is when, it's what they call the bread of affliction. To commode the meat from the bone, you go use jackhammer. And someone will now be praising it, saying, no, this is local fowl, this is nutritious one. Let me just tell you, nonsense. What did I say?
Nonsense.
Please, let me just beg you. Please, remember where I was, okay? I was talking about what the faithfulness of God and time. Yeah, thank you. Please don't waste your time with this rubbish healthy diet. Average one of you and me, you are not that indulgent yet. You are not that abundant to be doing that nonsense. If they give you fowl produced in a cage, eat it. With Thanksgiving. This one that you want to give yourself an enamel fracture because you want to remove. People just get up and create a fad out of nothing. Please, I come to your house, give me soft chicken. I don't want it. Look. If you are doing an event, give me real succulent chicken. Don't give me nonsense. Say, free range that was running inside the bush. I used all his energy to run up and down. No moisture, thank you. See, please, I keep on begging, especially Africans. You do not have American problem. Stop pretending. Maybe say you want to eat organic. I see all kinds of things. They go and say they put aloe vera in your soap and you want to make it like, yeah, you're using aloe vera soap. If you want to, please, you see, very soon they will soon put cactus. You will buy it. See, the normal old soap you have, you know, that white print, cut that head, you know. See, let me prove to you that it's good. That is what surgeons used to wash their hands before they open people's intestine. Before they used to open people's bowels. That simple soap that you are looking down on is what they collect and used to wash. And they wear their gloves, take a knife, and cut somebody's chest open. What is in your skin that, see, you cannot remove the bacteria in your skin. If you like, go and use acid to wash it. No, acid. Add it to it. As soon as you rinse it, the bacteria will grow back. And they are necessary. If they are not there, you will die quicker. Some of you use antiseptic soap to bathe. It's even bad for you, not even a waste of your money. You are damaging your skin. You are not supposed to kill bacteria on your skin. What's wrong with you? It's supposed to be there. There are places you can't remove bacteria from. That's where it's called normal flora. Let nobody be deceiving you, selling you all kinds of rubbish into society. You see, people, ignorance is there. It causes poverty. People don't have money. The little they have, they won't even use it to eat well. They say they want, I want only free range. Free range is good, but if you have closed range, eat it. The little money you have, that's why your money is not enough. You'll be eating things you can't afford. You go pour honey before your tea goes sweet. If you are just taking one nice cube of sugar, toss it inside, you see the difference. You'll thank me later. Please don't go around life. I'm just begging you. Buying a lot of dietary nonsense. I want to say this in a funny way. You are too poor for that. Many of these diets are for people who are so rich that they don't want to die. So they can eat their money. Do you follow my point? Please, when you are going on the road, buy Opa, close your eyes, eat it and go. You know, because I don't drink Coke. Can you afford it is a question. All this noise you are making. Let me get back to my message. I'm getting carried away. Eat whatever I said before you with thanksgiving. I hope you're getting my point. Oh, I can't leave this. No, I come to you once in a while. Nobody should come and advise you on health and diet who is not an expert. And never buy anything from anybody who's advising you. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
I'll give a general principle. Never buy anything from the person advising you on health and diet. You know what it means? Or why I say so? Your interest is secondary to their sales. There's nothing you are drinking, all this aloe vera, turmeric. Give me another one. Lemon, grass, drink. See, just eat normal. Don't you eat pumpkin leaf. You have orange. Once you have eaten that one, your life is good. Never spend a dime on expensive supplements. Any supplement that you don't find inside the market, the normal local market, is not necessary. Once you eat ugba, you eat ugu leaf, you eat tomato, you eat pepper, and you have orange, guava, mango when it is in season. All these I've mentioned, you add it to yam, cassava product, beans, and rice. and you can afford crayfish, fish, and meat, even if it's bush meat, that like you set a trap at the back of your house, any okete that passes. My people, it is enough. What did I say? Once they package and put color and tell it's a special supplement, I forbid you, don't buy it. And if you are the one selling here, go and find another business. Sell Gary, we will buy. Stop selling nonsense supplements that you don't know the meaning. You say, you see, this cobalamin is good for you. How do you know? The Lord is good. Please, I just like to help people. You know, I see people who, the little money they have, they're used to chase things that are not necessary. That's what I'm trying to say. I hope I've helped somebody. I can't go yet. Any medicine that a doctor does not prescribe, don't swallow it. If your neighbor prescribes it, it's poisonous. I'm telling you. What is wrong with you? This was what happened to me last week. Come and take. Don't agree. I hope you're getting my point. Don't agree. It looks like it. It is not it. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Skin rash has so many types. There's a cream we will give you for one skin rash. It will worsen another one. Those who know, you know. If I give you a steroid-based cream, if this rash is allergic, it will improve within 2-3 days. Well, if it's an infection, it worsens. By the evening of next day, it's already worse. And if you're not trained, you can't tell the difference. So I just feel like telling you, your neighbor is forbidding from prescribing for you. I hope you're getting my point.
Yes, sir.
If it is a medicine, please let a doctor prescribe it. I've told you, if anybody is selling medicine in packs, shiny packs, and they say it will make you, it's a key to eternal life. Please. An average doctor that's been trained for 10 years knows little. Yes, I'm being honest with you. I told you about it a few weeks ago. 6 years first degree training. Then he comes back for residency, who had another 4 years to his life. Yet, after 10 years of training, I'm looking at his prescription like this. Then one guy that didn't go to any school brings a drug to your house and is telling you how it will change your life. And you swallow it. And you wonder why your kidneys are not working. And I keep on saying, if you were your kidneys, will you walk after that? I know I'm taking a small digression, but please, I'm begging you. When somebody is selling something to you that you're supposed to swallow, don't buy it. That is not trained. If you want to sell you noodles, buy. They sell you spices for making your food. It's okay now. It's open in the market. They say, okay, I can't sell fresh yam. It's okay. But once they call it medicine, I forbid you in the name of the Lord. Don't swallow it. I don't want to mention any country, but you know what I'm talking about. They have so much in dust, they can package anything. They can package dust, wrap it, it will be looking like Pfizer made it. You know the country I'm talking about? There are two of them. They have a lot of industry. They can do it. A lot of machines everywhere. And they carry things all over the place, and people are buying and selling. I know. And injuring themselves every day. Occasionally, I come back to this thing. You'll notice, every few months, I come back to it again. And I think the Spirit of God trying to help people. I hope I'll finish this today now. I'll get back to my message. There's no new technology that only obscure people know and they are selling. Say, these drugs, the big pharma don't want you to know about is a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. Now watch, thank you. Bobo. Say, this one, they are hiding it from, and how did you get into your hand? Some they hid from Americans, hid from British people. Then it got into your hand from China and India, and you believe it. Can't you see yourself? You are not a normal creature. You are too gullible. He says advanced technology, and Pfizer does not know about your advanced technology. Guys who spent billions of dollars in drug development, they don't know about your advanced technology. And you now bring it to my house in Enugu because the package is shiny. There is a lot of rubbish people believe. They just say, they don't want you to know. Who is they? Who is they? And like it was, and you know. Who told you? You just go, you believe in it and say, this is new technology, they don't know yet. It's stem cell. Please, if you want to swallow, Go to hospital. What did I say? Let a trained person examine you, prescribe well-researched drugs. Don't go to one obscure website to be downloading and ordering drugs from China. I hope you have gotten what I said, though.
Yes.
Oh, God. Damn it, I can't seem to leave this thing. And don't send it to your parents. There's no key to long life inside those things. One day my mother came and said that she said, don't eat this. I said, I told my mother, I looked at her, I said, you're 70. This was when she was 70 something. I said, you're 75. You have not died from eating this thing. This now you now die. Almost 10 years later, she's still alive and kicking. Yes, she's 35 now. Please, don't buy rubbish, package it and wire it to your parents. I see a lot of that nonsense. Oh God, why can't I just leave this thing now? You don't need extra vitamin. You're not pregnant. Are you normal? Vitamin supplementation for healthy people has been documented to be harmful. You increase your chances of getting cancers. Please, stop these things. You are not sick. Be supplementing things that are not missing. The current training in medicine is that before you supplement what they call vitamins, a number of criteria must be in place. One, the person must be demonstrated to be lacking or be at risk. For example, we supplement for pregnant women because the babies are collecting the ones they have. Please, I hope you, those of you are making me sit on this thing. You are taking your supplement. Are you a bodybuilder? I hope you know those bodybuilders, they are all unhealthy people. Bodybuilders, they don't live long. One of the greatest of all time is in a wheelchair currently. He can't walk. He's had 12 back surgeries, now he can't walk. Those that are physics, you see, are abnormal. They are the ones that swallow all kinds of things. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
My body has come down now. But I hope I've helped somebody.
Yes.
So, now, let's get back to our message. Now, please listen to this carefully. Alright? I was talking about fertile calves. Do you remember that? God is fattening you to offer you. Do you hear what I said? God is fattening me, fattening all of us. That's how life is. You are built up so you have something to sacrifice. Your life is an offering. So don't be angry, please. Please, and if you're a pastor, don't preach that nonsense. I'm sorry to use the expression, but it's a fact. As if people must get something in their life for whatever they are doing for God. The judgment day is not now. There is the end of time when God will judge all things. You should be more concerned concerning how much you can give than how much you can get back. Because the more you get back now, the less you have at the end. Yeah, Jesus told us like that. He said, very, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. You can have everything. If you're a pastor and you insist that the church must serve you, they must carry you and pamper you and spoil you, they will do that. When Jesus comes back, you will get less reward than the man manning the gate. Because sometimes we pastor, if you are not careful, like somebody will say, look at how they are treating that man. I preach more than him. What's my church people doing? You will harass your church people until they finally get up and do. You want to know the truth? You have eaten part of your eternal reward. You read the scriptures. Paul never did that. Paul said, if I preach, I have no reward. You know what he said? He said, because necessity is laid upon me. That is, I was born to preach. So anytime you tell me that I should preach, you are giving me an avenue to release the pressure inside my soul. So Paul said, I deserve nothing if I preach. So he said, I reasoned. How can I even say I've done something beyond that which I'm duty bound to do? He said, when I offer it without any price to those who have been blessed by it. He So that's the only little boast I have. So I can say to in Ephesus, I have coveted nobody's goods. It's not everything you grab because you have the right to grab it. That's what Paul was saying. So that's why I said, Pastor, stop preaching that doctrine. As if, look, you just give, then God will give you back. No. You shouldn't even want him to give you back now. Because the more you get back now, the less you have later. Treat yourself as a fattening, you know, there's fatted calf, but one being fattened. Ready, being prepared as an offering. It's why Jesus said, if you are going to follow me, you must do what? Take up what? Your cross. So my son, you know, wearing a cross, I said, Shay, you know, this is not what Jesus meant. We're joking about it. Dressed up, wore something on his neck that had a cross. I said, you look nice with your cross, but this is not what Jesus meant to. What does it mean to take up your cross? Get ready to be offered. Many people talk about, you know, like I told you, the video that was shared with me. The guy said 90% of the times I'm talking to Nigerians in Nigeria, they are complaining about the problems in the country. He said, but 90% I talk to other nationals in Nigeria, they are talking about the opportunities in the country. You're in Nigeria, you're a Christian. You should be asking yourself, what are the avenues that God has given or opened by which I can pour out my life in the service of the nation, in the service of the church, in the service of the people? Those who need it. Never forget it. That is what you are supposed to do. Now, if you have that attitude, if you have that thought process, you will never question the faithfulness of God. Those who question God's faithfulness are those that are calculating for him. Like somebody said to me, I'm due for my breakthrough. What does it mean? I have given. Let me tell you what God gives you, the opportunity to give some more. There's nothing like, you know, you now deserve. You don't deserve anything. It's God that will decide what he wants to give to you. Do you follow my point? Why people question God's faithfulness? That's what I'm talking about. You know, we're talking about what? Timing. That why people think they talk about faithfulness. Why they question God? Number one, the promises that he did not make, trying to manipulate him with their own works. That's number one. Number two, timing. God is not slow as men count what? Slowness. How they count slowness? After all, I planted a seed last week. I've been tithing faithfully for the last 10 years. By now, it should be producing something. So God appears unfaithful because of how they counted the time, the slowness, when the reward should come. And that's why I went to all of this, to let you know that forget it. Just take yourself as a calf being fattened and being constantly offered. That was why Paul said in Romans chapter 12, offer yourself as what? A living sacrifice. Let me tell you what he means by living sacrifice. Another application to it, all right? It's a sacrifice that can be offered every day. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That is, a normal sacrifice, you offer it once, okay? Now, you've been offered now yesterday. They have killed you, they've cut your head, the priest has taken your life, they've taken everything, all right? Come back tomorrow for another killing process. That's the mean by a living sacrifice. A sacrifice that's constantly being offered and we cannot finish offering. Do you get the logic? That is, I was on campus, I served. I was a blessing. God used me to bless people. People now say, now I've now graduated. God will now give me a good job. No. I have now left school. Now, God, how do you want to offer me again? Because, okay, go to this sector and go and work. Anywhere you step into, your attitude is that, okay, how am I to be offered here? What can I give to the persons that are here? How can I be of service? Then one day you get promoted. Maybe finally, one day, you've stayed there for a long time. Okay, you start your own business. You work in that industry for like 12 years. Finally, you feel like it's time to go and open my own stuff. Your first attitude is this. Your primary attitude is that, okay, what can I contribute that the other companies around are not contributing? How can I be of help? If you are responsible, it will never come to a time where they say, sit down. Don't do anything again. If you started your life helping people pay school fees, By the time you die, you will have written the last check. You are 92. No, it's not like you are. You started when you were 26, 27. At the age of 92, you will see the, okay, they said those people are going for a while. How many are they? He said, Grandpa, they are only 500. You started with one or two. When you are old, there will now be 500 of them. What your children will now be doing is that, daddy, only you. Okay. All right. Hey, you said there are five. Okay, how much is the money? Everything is 8 million naira. Okay, fine. They will now give you money to pay. But if you think one day you just sit down and say, I've paid my dues. Nonsense. That's not Christianity. I hope you're getting my point. It's not Christianity. There is nothing like that. You are going to continue to pay these dues to the end. Those who are not doing never did. I don't know whether I get my point. They never did. They never did. As one set will go, another set will come. Now, it's not bad though. It's God that's considered you what? Faithful. I want you as a child of God to understand. See, if you understand this, you will never judge God as unfaithful. Never. You always see him as another opportunity that he's given. Another opportunity. You started on campus. You left NYC. You did it. You started working somewhere. Now you own a business. God now said, you know, before you were helping maybe your boss. Now you are going to help your workers. It will come to pass that when people need help, they will get a job here. You know what they have found out in life? As you grow older, every day you are solving problems. My wife called me yesterday night. She came home. You say, this roof is leaking in my mind. If you fix the leaking roof, tomorrow the gutter will break. See, don't feel bad. That is why you are a leader. Your job is to solve problems. This problem will not end. It can't end. You think it's planning to end? On this earth, it will not end. See, your rest will not happen. See, let me quickly drop this one for you so we can close. What is called the rest of God? Enter it now while you are broke. Enter it now while you don't have much. Enter it. That's the best rest you'll ever get, the rest of God. Outside rest will never happen until Jesus comes back. I don't know whether you get my point.
Yes,
let me drop one small one for you. People, they grumble about Nigeria waiting for you to arrange. Me, I don't good. I don't arrange inside me. It's not about, if fuel price goes up, I will be happy. If you think I'm waiting for when you have uninterrupted power, stable price, this and that, for me to be happy, lie. It was when I was younger that I would be driving, I'd be getting angry with bus driver, keke riders, and bike riders. Now, all of us own the road. That's my attitude. When you are coming, I stop. When you drive nonsense, I just go away. My quarreling days have been reducing and reducing. You know what I found out? When I was young, when I was in my 30s, all right, the bus drivers were in their maybe 20s and 30s. So we used to quarrel mate to mate. Now I'm 20 years older. Are you getting my point? The bus drivers are still in their 20s and their 30s. They are not changing in age. Did you notice? So why do you think the behavior will change? The ones that have matured like me have left the business. Every time I come out, it's always a young boy driving like there's no tomorrow. So I reasoned some years ago. I said, Banky, they can't change. They are not staying there long enough to change. Do you catch it?
Yes, sir.
If we're all growing together, maybe they would change. They will have changed. But they are not growing together. They are leaving the business. So I've just learned how to manage. When the guy, that guy, he go enter. He no go stop. He go enter. I'll just pause. Enter. I can grumble and say, hey, this, why did they drive like? What kind of driving is this? But gone are the days in which I'll open my door and warn you. After I finish warning you, what happens? Nothing. You go abuse me back. So now I've decided that, see, that's the attitude I have now towards everything. The country. People are waiting to hide. Say, I don't say this country go good. I don't answer anybody. Me. It don't good. Now, please, I hope you get me. I'm not trying to say that everything is perfect. I'm saying you must enter into rest inside you. Then you will have joy every day. You must enter rest inside, not wait for things to be perfect outside. Why? They are not going to be. Ever. See, you say that, Pastor, what are you saying? Let me ask you a question. When I was young, when I first married, when I first came to Enugu, to call my wife. First, before I married her, when we were planning the marrying thing, the marrying things, she was in Benin, I was in Lagos. She was living with her parents. To call, I had to call their home. I didn't have a phone in my own house. I buy Nitel card. Some of you are old enough to remember that. Who used the Nitel card here? Wave your hand. Yes, thank you. God bless you. I'm seeing even Dinwoke did not use the Nitel card. Shows you how old. You know what's the Nitel card?
I saw
you. You didn't use it? Hey, okay. It's been a while, really. It's been a while. It's just like this, your ATM card. Same thing. Huh? Just like the phone was just like an ATM machine. You put it in. It has units you've paid for. Then I walk from my apartment across Luz, Lagos University Teaching Hospital, to the other end, to the college side, at 11 o'clock. Don't I have work? It's night. Why? Let me tell you the reason why. That cannot. The call has to be 11:30 for a number of reasons. One, the cheap rate starts around 10. Yeah, it's half rate if you go after 10. But most importantly is a queue. If you come during the day, there is a long queue that you can't talk for more than 5 minutes before they start fighting. I mean, there's a queue. Yeah, you can't say anything secret. So that's why we come at night, for two reasons. One, you get a cheaper rate, but I used to go at 11:30 simply because there's no queue. You get there, you can be on the phone for 30 minutes and nobody disturbs. In fact, I used to do something. Somebody's standing there, I just say, this call is going to be long. It's yours long. He says, no. I tell my wife, you call her and babe, I'm a church man, I don't say things like that. I'll just say that, please, I'll call you back. We used to want for anything those days. You know the way phones were, extensions meant more than different parts of the house. So there was an extension in her parents' bedroom beside their bed. So I soon learned that one. So once she's usually waiting. She checks her time. It's 11. Obogo soon calls. So she'll go downstairs and go and be dozing beside the phone. So as soon as the phone rings, she'll collect it. So that she don't wake the parents up. But of course, my mother-in-law, how will you interrupt? You call her house at 11, she's not awake. How is that possible? If it's my father-in-law, you won't bother. But as my wife picks the phone, my wife now, somebody, I hear the two clicks. But her's always first. Flip. They only pick the second one. I know. And we both know. We'll be talking normally. God bless you. How are you doing? How was work today? Then once you hear click, she has dropped. We'll get how far. Now start saying all the things you want to say. No, you have to learn this. It's like that. You have to learn these things. It's like that. The Lord is good. Now, where I'm going is this, all right? I just wanted to get down to emphasize the point. You know, even after we got married, after I came to Enugu, before she came a few weeks after I arrived, how did we used to talk? When she goes to church, a lot of young people don't know what they're talking about. And they tell their country is not getting better. That's where I'm going with the whole talk. Little by little, it started. People started making midnight calls to make it cheap. But now, does anybody stay up at week to call anything again? For what now? Even if you can't don't have, you got to use WhatsApp call, which is free for all intents and purposes. Just hang to where you can see Wi-Fi. You talk for the whole day. And they tell you the country is not getting better. My friend from the U.S. one day said, I should send a check. I said, send a check to somebody. I said, so like for a moment I was wondering, I should send a check? So there was a bit of confusion. Then he wants to give somebody, should help me send this person a check. I said, are you sending this person a check? I said, but how much? As we are talking now, you hang this phone, I wire the money. He said, oh, sorry, you guys are ahead of us. I've noticed you guys are far ahead of us in this thing. They don't do what we do.
It's true,
yeah. They don't. Our transactions? The guy said, oh, sorry. I said, I don't know when last I wrote a check. Check? I said, what is so called? And people tell you that life is not getting better. It has happened I got home, like maybe get before, to pay NEPA bill. You know what you do. Let's not talk about what NITE did to people. NITE workers were next to God. But now we scrap them, made them irrelevant. The same thing we are doing to NNPC. Say amen to that.
Amen.
That is, it has become a matter of, look. It's happened before. When I get home, I just notice that. Wait, oh, I check. There's no light. You know, we have power. The inverter is on. Ah, there's no power. Just check. Is there no power? I look at the meter. Ah, it's blinking. No, it's fixed red. Oh, no power. Sometimes I just bring up my app or I call Toreman. Toreman, are you awake? He said, yes, sir. Please, Paga, send me 50K credit. Just goes on a power rack one. I get, in 5 minutes, I get a text on my phone. The code is there. Bring up my CIU. Just see the thing just turn green outside. And life goes on like nothing happened. Now you can dash somebody power credit from across. You just say, yes. Say, I know. He said, send me your meter number. You enter this thing, bam. And they'll just send to him directly, not even to you. And somebody say, life is not getting better. So now when I'm doing my financial transaction, midnight, just get up. No, where I'm going is this. If you want to be happy now.
Yes,
God is blessing you on a daily basis.
Yes,
don't wait till everything will be perfect for you to start rejoicing. Don't wait for when things will be perfect for you to start rejoicing. I could stay here and be counting blessings God has given us. When my car has issues, when I would say, how far? Soga, give me some time to do research. What does it mean? Just go online. YouTube will give him lectures. He's an engineer, motor mechanic. Yes, this is what we are supposed to do. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Now, let me get sit on the main message. Right now, be happy. Don't wait for things to be perfect. You know the reason why? When you get to that place, you will see, if you are an unhappy person, you will see another set of things to complain about. So if you want to be happy, be happy. When?
Now.
Be happy?
Now.
Now. Let me end the message here. The point I'm making about this is that the time will not come ever when on this earth you have perfect rest. It'll never happen. Your rest must be in you now. As life goes on, you leave one level of responsibility to another, but you are a calf being fattened to be sacrificed. See your life like that, and you will never question the faithfulness of God. Let me say something to you. God is faithful to his promises, not your ideas. He's faithful to his promises, not your ideas. Many things you are looking for him to do, he has decided they will be done in the next generation. But in your own generation, I will bless you. I will take care of you. I will make your descendants great. Don't worry about it. You just be preoccupied with being offered up as a living sacrifice. And you will never have to doubt the faithfulness of God. Let me summarize it like this. God is faithful. It's worth following. Hey, yeah. See, every day in life you have to make a decision. Just ask yourself, which one will indicate I'm following God? Now, listen. Please, I finished my message, but I need to say this. You have to ask, which one of these, I have the decision. That's how you follow God in life. There's always a junction, goes left or right. Go and pray. In which of these will I be following? And listen to the, let me tell you the trick of Satan. Listen to this carefully. This is the trick of Satan. You say, it's this one, but you do it tomorrow. Satan's trick for most Christians is delayed obedience. prioritizing personal gratification, personal satisfaction, personal security. That's one thing I should say. God can take care of you more than you can take care of yourself. The plans you made for your own future is not as good, or they are not as good as the one he has made. There's only one problem. At the beginning, his own looks like a narrow road. Yours looks confident. I will end with the story of Derek Prince, which I've told a million times, so to speak. So at the age of 40, he had no bank account, so no savings. He had no money. He had no house. And he said, most importantly, he had no plans. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
At the age of 40, he didn't have a plan. Now, I don't think he's a layabout. He came from a very successful family, an only child. Military officers, all his uncles, successful British military officers. He decided not to go that way. Very brilliant young man. He would say, look, I know enough Greek to teach at university level. So it doesn't mean I'm always right, but it means I'm entitled to an opinion. He's talking to you, tell you that this is he's speaking in German. They say, like, you give you a line in German. Very intelligent man. Was a university lecturer in Cambridge. That's where I'm going. He had the brain. He had the connection. He had everything. But as a 20-something-year-old man, God called him. He had never heard the gospel. He heard it in a very funny way. You listen to his message, discipled in the desert. God taught him by himself some fundamentals. He read his Bible. Then after the Second World War, God said, now let's go. The path he was supposed to follow, he walked away from the path. Closed his career path. And when he ran away finally from what is now Israel of today, okay, he left as a refugee with a wife he married and daughters that she had adopted. They got to London. He had no plans. None. No plans. I may miss the order of events in his life, but at the point in time, he went to Canada to go and get a job as an assistant pastor. He packed the whole family. Then from there, there was a time he went to Kenya to go and be the principal of a teacher training college, a missionary work. From there, he will return here. And that's how he was just moving here and there. Just had one desire in mind. The word of the Lord came to him expressly. That I've called you to be a teacher. I've forgotten the words I was. Of the teacher of the word in truth and in righteousness for all. And he had a vision before. He said, it shall be a spring. Then the spring shall become a stream. And the stream shall become a river. And the river shall become an ocean and all of that. So he had that word. He said, this is what God wants to do in my life. I'm supposed to teach the gospel. Okay, yes, he went to Kenya before Canada, I remember. From Kenya, he went to Canada because he got to Canada and he had a daughter who he had adopted in Kenya. From there, he was going to the U.S. to go and help a pastor for some months. Make a long story short, he entered the U.S. and he didn't come out for a very long time. Because as soon as he entered there, he said, let's make a long story short. A man who at the age of 40 had no money, no house, no bank account, and no plans. At the age of 80, 2/3 of the globe was listening to him on a daily basis. His messages were being aired in Farsi, that is the Persian language, Iran. 5 Chinese dialects, English, French, Spanish. In at least 20 languages, they were translating his messages and airing them. No plans at the age of 40. When he was writing his memoirs, somebody was interviewing him. People prayed that as we are coming to, he was in Jerusalem. People prayed that as we are coming to Jerusalem, God, please let us meet Derek Prince. There was eating. Yeah, the man who was Stephen Mansfield was interviewing him. So he said, okay, let's go and sit in the restaurant and talk. Then those people said, we are hungry. They entered the restaurant to eat. Who had prayed? Then they saw people kneeling down, worshiping God. How God is so faithful. They're like, what's going on? Then they walked over and said, we prayed that we'll meet you. And look at you in the same restaurant where we came to eat. They were praying to meet him. And some people there were named Derek. Their parents had children and named the children after him. Who at the age of 40 had no plans? You think you can plan it? They plan, they go. After the way your plans fail, rejoice. You don't plot. Where I will leave school. Once I just get a 2-1, I enter into this sector. I enter into banking, into telecoms, again, the oil industry. Then you got 0.1 point short of the 2-1. It's God that said, may it not go that way. Yes, I have another path. Look, let me read something for you. Then I close with it. Isaiah chapter 50. Yes. Isaiah chapter 50. What am I preaching? God is faithful. What did I say?
God is faithful.
Isaiah chapter 50. Verse 10. Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of the servant? But then, what is the experience? You still walk in darkness and have no light. Things are not working. Let such a person trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Behold, all you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with firebrands, that you know how to plan. Okay, go ahead. Walk in the light of your own fire and among the brands you have set ablaze. But note this. This you will have from my hand. You will lie down in torment. Did you hear what I said? You know what the Bible says? It is good to know how to wait for God. Maybe next time we'll come. Let me just go over that again. It is good to wait for the Lord. I'll pick it up from here. Let me not start teaching it because it takes a lot of time and I need to really teach it. It's something I go to once in a while. It is good to wait for God. He said, those who wait upon the Lord, they will do what? They renew their strength. Every soul must know how to wait for God. There are two sides to this thing. God's side is that he's faithful. Your side is that you learn how to wait. What did I say? God's side is that what? He's faithful. My own side is what? To learn how to wait. He said, to those who wait for him, there is no lack. I hope you're getting my point. Those who wait for him, God is so faithful. There is no one that hopefully waits for him that will ever be put to shame. That's what David said. For time's sake, I will not read beyond that. Let me just stop it here. The assignment we have is to know how to wait. Now, let me be honest with you. Waiting is not easy. It's not. It's not. Because sometimes God behaves as if he has forgotten. That is why you have to read that he cannot forget. But I think I've said enough to you today for you to know that waiting is what we must do. Because God is what?
Faithful.
Those who wait for him will never be disappointed. It's not possible. It's just not possible. If anybody is disappointed, he wasn't waiting for God. Many people, while waiting, they cut it off. They cut it short. It's like Saul. Someone said, wait 7 days. The seventh day. And those are the prayers I pray. God, please. See, you know, I keep on saying this. Learn how to pray. Because the closer you get to certain things in life, the more the distractions and satanic agitation will increase. He that endures till the end is the one that will be saved. Let's bow down our heads. Let me stop it here. Let's say, Father, thank you. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just give thanks.